Okay, so these are things that your site must have. I'm talking about everything from, you know, forms to, you know, the profiles. These are things that make your site viral. Now, some out of the things I'm showing you, they're going to be grade A things in this list. There's going to be grade B things in this list, of course. And then there's going to be those extra grade C things. But the purpose in me taking you through every sticky component so that you can have an idea of what you'd want in your community and the effect that it provides for you, the effect it's, you know, been providing for me at least. And you know, not everything I mention here is going to be directly applicable to you, but definitely something to consider. So first of all, let me just review sticky sites. Sticky sites engage users, give them a reason to return several times a day. So just think about your own site. Do I have a sticky site right now? Do users have a reason to come to my site multiple times a day? Or am I one of those people that have to push people to my site, you know, by sending out a large broadcast or something and they click on the page and they never return until my next reminder and I make all my money by doing a bunch of broadcasts and sales dip and I know how to get them back up by sending out an email? Or do you have a site that gives users a legitimate reason to return? You know, maybe it's because of other users. Maybe it's because of the activities. Maybe it's because of friends they met. Maybe it's because of content that updates on your site dynamically. And that is my next point. Sticky sites have changing and dynamic content. Sticky sites make users feel a part of the site, a part of something. Sticky sites engage users, builds relationships with them, and it fosters relationships that they build among each other, facilitates those relationships. It's all about relationships and rapport. Allows users to control their own data. We've talked about that. Allows them to update, remove, enhance. There's this sense of ownership that you get out of a sticky Web 2.0 site that you just don't get in Web 1.0. Web 1.0 is all about just one-way interaction. Put up a site, get people to come to it, they take action. You know, there is no communication, there is no collaboration between people like themselves. But this is a totally different philosophy. This is allowing people to have some piece of real estate with your site. And if they do, they're going to embrace what they help to create, and you're going to find that you have stronger, loyal, more dedicated, more committed members. There is a sense of ownership. Sticky sites are viral by nature, giving reasons for users to share the site with others, thus furthering your marketing message or whatever the underlying goal for the community is. It's the very nature of the community causes it to be passed on, and I'm going to repeat that over and over. Things that they do, you're not relying on them putting in email addresses and passing on to their friends, and some will, don't get me wrong. You're not solely relying on people just passing it on because you're running a contest, and we run contests, but what I'm talking about is just the nature of the site. You allow them to do certain activities that make them pass it on. If they put up a profile and they're a piano player and you're a piano site and you give them an ability to put up a profile to showcase their own talents, to share with the world what they're doing, what they're working on, what they're practicing, who their other piano friends are, of course they're going to want to pass on this profile. If they upload music to this profile of their own playing, of course they want to promote themselves. Of course. Everybody does. Everybody has this sense of wanting to belong and be popular and pass on what they're doing, you know, to people they like and people they know. So if I'm providing this value, if I'm providing the solutions for them to be able to do that in their passionate, dedicated niche, then my site's going to be the one that propagates out there. Just like MySpace has, even though they're more in a generic sect, I mean, they're a perfect example. People just wanting to be connected with people like them or people they've had past connections with. And your site will grow because of that. Of course, sticky sites use Web 2.0 practices, has interactive elements like forums, chat rooms, group messaging, interactivity among members. You know, it's the two-way now. It's all about the two-way. And sticky sites help social proof. Social proof is what happens or what's needed when users don't know what to do, or just your customers don't know what to do. Of course you want them to buy from you, or maybe they need that push. Well, if you have a big sticky community of people just roaming around and doing their things, well, when new members come, it's very easy for them to get more engaged and push through the funnel, because it's easy to see, you know, 10,000 other people, you know, doing things and talking about your courses and discussing them and, you know, adding friends to their buddy list. So not only do you get the social aspect, and the social interaction between them, but you get the social proof that helps to make you that much more legitimate that much more quickly, if that makes sense. So forms, let's talk about forms. Forms, you got to have forms. Our forms existed in Web 1.0, so they're not necessarily a 2.0 component. It's how you use them. Forms use inside of a community that's a 2.0 vehicle helps to make forms that much powerful, because from this form, it's not just, you know, Lady D now, you know, forms are integrated with the community. So now when you click there, you can go to Lady D's profile. Then you can see Lady D's blog post. Then you can see music Lady D has uploaded, you know, so it's all a connection. And what forms do for you in this whole Web 2.0 phenomena, or what you want to call it, it instantly adds that sticking component to your site. So let's just say you don't want to go full out right now with the community. Well, at least try to add a form to start facilitating and start building that sticky component of your site. Another thing it does is it provides fresh content, and it's not created by you. The content is created by the users daily, and encourage them to log in regularly to see what's new. And you can even be proactive about it, and you can send out a list of daily topics that are hot or something like that. It's a great way to get new product ideas. Members talk about their needs and their wants, generally their wants, but members will talk, and if you're in tune to this, you can be using your forum as a way to just make a list of products that you need to be covering in the future. It's a way for you to build rapport and personal relationship with users. And there's nothing better than when I go to a big celebrity or, you know, some kind of figure in the public eye, and I see them interacting on their own site, albeit their blog or whether it's their forum. I see them and they're a real person. And I mean, don't let me be able to contact them personally and send them a message. I mean, their kudos or whatever, their brownie points in my book, their stock rises that much higher because they're accessible. And that's what people feel about you. If you're going to be that celebrity, if you're going to be that front personality in your community the way I am, I mean, I'm the man in my community. I am the man. I can go out on the street and nobody know who I am. Nobody will know. But when I step onto here in playgrounds, I am the celebrity. I am the man. And it builds rapport to see me on there interacting just like everyone else. And to come to find, when there are months that I might skip or not be able to, you know, log in as much because of speaking or whatever I'm involved with, it shows. And some of the members will even say, where's Jermaine at and stuff, because of that rapport and that personal relationship and that expectation that I've built. And, you know, maybe you don't want to be that front runner. Maybe you want to have a group of front runners, you know, or maybe you just want things to be decentralized. Those are all routes to take. But I'm telling you, forms, when it comes to relationships, help. And then, you know, offering little things like users' ability to subscribe to hot topics and announcements and automatically be emailed. These are ways to get people logged in every day, because the more they're logged in, the more exposures they're getting to your products, your services, whatever your call to actions are. You know, I've heard somebody say it takes at least 7 exposures for somebody to consider your offer, or, you know, that's just to consider your offer, not to take action. So the longer they stay, the more they'll pay. It's what I believe and saw one day and never forgot it. The longer they stay, the more they pay, the more they read, the more they need. And there was another one, but I can't remember it now. Now, depending on your form software, generally you'll have subforms. And, you know, for us, it's beginner, music theory, advanced. You know, we'll do it by a particular genre. I mean, you even get categories. And then you get subforms within those categories, and you want to have those because you don't want just one general form with topics everywhere and all off the board. You know, kind of streamline them so people can find people just like them. If they're advanced, they'll hang out in the advanced form you'll find. If they're intermediate, they'll hang out in the intermediate form. So these are things to keep in mind. One thing that we added that I don't see in all forms is photos. yeah, people will post photos, you know, by the actual messages, but we found putting photos in actually the public areas of the forum, like where we actually list the categories or we list the subforums, actually increases personalization and increases click-through rates into the actual forums themselves. And we monitor this kind of stuff. So, you know, have your programmer do that. If there's already a place to upload photos, use those photos of those members as many places as you can, because that helps social proof. So you want your community to be kind of an in your face. And you'll notice that the same profile they upload, and we'll talk about photos and things, we place it in the forum. We place it in these little random member boxes that are on the bottom of every single, you know, page. You know, we may get an attractive member, and somebody may see that particular member, click on profile, and we've had people get married through our website and maintain relationships. And that's, you know, that's what it's for. But, you know, at the end of the day, it increases personalization. Volunteer moderators. Another thing you want to do is solicit volunteer moderators. This will help your forum. Notice how many moderators we have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven moderators. And you know what? All of them are free, dedicated, committed members. And sometimes when I just ask, you know, would you like to, I notice you're posting a lot in the forum, would you like to be a moderator? And just my rapport with them or my leadership or me being the celebrity in my niche causes them to be elated to want to moderate, and they keep it going. And what I do is I automatically, and different people have different philosophies on this, but I automatically enable the feature that emails people. It'll email them automatically if somebody has replied to a topic that they've already posted in. So if there's a particular topic everybody's talking about, you know, a particular event that happened in the news, generally on forums, the users can check if they want to be notified of future replies. You know, these are people replying to what they had to say. And most people, once they get engaged in a particular conversation, they will want to know how that conversation unravels. We don't give them the choice, really. Well, we do, but we check it first. And studies with checkboxes and in any kind of action show that if you check something, 80% will keep it checked. 20% will uncheck it if you already have it checked. It's the opt-out versus the opt-in. If you have something unchecked and expect people to check it, generally only 20% will check it. 80% will leave it unchecked. So notice how that works. It's Pareto there too, Pareto principle. And this is how I do it. So solicit volunteer moderators. And the reason for me saying that is because what happens is that they're generally in on most of the conversations because they're moderators. They feel that need to keep things moving along. So more members are being emailed. And of course, members can actually do a global turn off of all alerts if they want to, or certain alerts. But this keeps members emailed. And it's not that they're getting a promotion. You know, we all feel bad when we're hitting our list too much or mailing our list. But these are different. See, these are things that involve them. They're getting a particular alert because there's a particular topic in a forum that's been replied to. So they're naturally going to want to know what's up with that. And if they're not at the bottom of every alert, we give them instructions on how to turn it off. So that gets people actually logged in daily. And in those same emails, if you want to, you can advertise products, you can advertise services, because those emails are sent out by the millions, because those are alerts, and every user, 70,000 times whatever alerts they might be getting. It's not only alerts and forms, but it's whenever a new member posts a comment on their page, they get a new comment alert. So it keeps them in the know. They get a new private message, they get an alert right away. If they've been invited to be in a particular group, they get an alert. And these are emails. So moderators help to keep these alerts going out because they're always posting. Offer, and this is how to get volunteer moderators. You can offer free products and services in exchange. You can pay like a very low stipend. I remember when we first got started, I paid a guy about $100 a month. And back in 2003, you know, before I had a community and when I just had a forum, it wasn't an active forum. You know, it took us probably around 3 years to get about, you know, a couple thousand posts, when, you know, Zone has gotten tens of thousands of posts in a very relatively short time. And I was paying this guy to keep it going, but, you know, it just didn't work with one guy. But when you get these people in this community and you start building this family, that's how your forum, you know, gets out there. and gets active. And so you can start off if you have to, if you, you know, don't have those members, don't have a volunteer to keep it going, you know, pay them. And then, you know, as you get more people, you can take him off the payroll or whatnot. Generally, they kind of fade out when they see that other moderators are coming anyway. Offer to give people a special rank or title in the community. I mean, there's something about titles that psychologically they work. You know, I start giving people just superhero titles, you know, and of course I'm exaggerating, but make different titles and give them certain ranks. And most forums have the capabilities to do this. If applicable, offer to post their website or their blog or their profile or, you know, something advertising, something that they do, if applicable, in prominent areas of the site. So it's basically exposure for them. And if you are a celebrity to your audience, simply acknowledge how good this member is, you know, give them a compliment and invite them to become a leader and moderator. And you'll be surprised how many people actually take you up on this offer. And like I said, all of my moderators currently are absolutely free, absolutely free. Now, something that we do in our forums and we emphasize is ranks. She's a Hear and Play Junior, but then they can move up to a, you know, Hear and Play General, a Hear and Play Elite. You know, you make up names, you know, it can be gold, silver, bronze. You can make up stuff like platinum. You know, it's the American Express thing. You know, we'll pay $300 a month in fees just to have a platinum card versus a gold or a green. And I know there's some benefits, but, you know, they're not vast enough to pay $300 a year. You know, much of it is a psychological impact or, you know, just having a platinum in your wallet versus a gold. I don't know, but, you know, and you can't really see this one, but she's a site moderator. So giving ranks, and basically their ranks move up the more they post. So, you know, and you can determine this. If maybe your first rank upgrade would be after 30 posts, you know, and then after 60 posts, or maybe yours are more like 100 posts, and after 200 posts, they move up and publish these ranks. So people kind of have something to look forward to, at least the ones that are really, really engaged in your community and want to be popular for it. They'll eat this up. Also, easy access to member profiles. Since everything is integrated, it's not just a form. It's a form within a bigger community. It's just a ride. It's just a roller coaster in a bigger amusement park. So we need ways to connect to other areas of the community. And I do this by putting their profile and their picture, both clickable, and they go to that particular user's personal page on our site. And basically, if you click that, you can go see their photos, add them to your buddy list. See, everything is integrated. So it's this big old world. Now, Eunice or some of my programmers will tell you in the beginning, these were all separate pieces that we had to tie together. I mean, yeah, profile, that was different than the, you know, the form. We had to connect these two together with some common, you know, denominator between them. You know, some go by member number, you know, some go by username. So we had to integrate this so that on the user end, they can't tell the difference when you click on somebody's link that is taking them to a whole nother area of the site that used to be a whole separate function. Now it's all the same. So they click here, they go to profile. That's one of those personalization things. Now, how to increase interactivity on forums. Number one, you can have automated topics. Webmaster World does this very well if you've ever been there. Great forum. What you can do is pull content from news sources or article databases or RSS feeds and post them in your forum as topics of discussion. Now, you can do this manually or you can do this automatically. A programmer can, you know, set this up where basically, you know, it can be tied into some kind of news feed or some kind of database, and it just automatically posts that story. So it's almost like a robot doing it. And, you know, and you can even make a username called News Poster. And so it'll post under this name, News Poster, and it gives members something to talk about every day. And, of course, it needs to be related. And even we have an anything chat. This is where you could just talk about whatever you want. It doesn't have to be music related. I figure these are like-minded people. They become close with one another. So we find people are posting news-related items in there, stuff on Paris Hilton at times. And it's just fun to see people interacting together. Solicit volunteer moderators in exchange for free products or low stipends. This is something that we also do, and this is something I've already pretty much talked about. Member points and rewards. We talked about rankings and the psychological effect. But we didn't talk about member points and rewards. And it's the same thing American Express gets us, you know, where, you know, after we spend so much, we get certain amount of points and then we can redeem those points. And a lot of us out there will spend $100,000 on our American Express Platinum because we got to be the high rank, right? Just to win an iPod. And never think of it. Just, oh, I'm going to win an iPod. Well, you could have bought a 1,000 iPods, you know, for that price. But it's the psychological impact that points and rewards have, and being pointed out for it is what I'm trying to say. So gift points for posting on the forum and other areas of the site. But right now we're just talking about forums. And these points can be redeemed for free products and prizes, or allow readers to distribute points to others for helpful posts and things like that. That's another thing. Have the readers be able to distribute points. So they can either be rewarded automatically. This post gets you 10 points. Or it can be like you don't get any points, but when readers read your post or your reply, you know, they have like 10 pennies or something, and they can click on 9 of them to give you 9 pennies or something like that. And so your points move up based on your value to the community. And I've also heard other people, one particular guy, Jerry Clark, you guys may know, suggested that you give people points and you allow them to use it towards products, which is what we do. But if you had a paid site, you can give them points for every dollar they pay into your site. So if it's like $29 a month, you give them 29 points, and those are worth dollars that they can redeem later on. And you can put a threshold on it if you want. You know, you can't redeem them unless you have at least $100, you know, dollars. And the thing is, it doesn't cost you $100 to make your product. So they're still paying their money, but it seems like it's free because they're getting that money back in points, and these points can be redeemed. That's just way above, but you can do that, you know, and it's brilliant. Member ranks. This is another thing that we talked about. Users move up in rank: general member, premium member, elite member, royal elite, superhero member, you know, same effect that points have. So now let's move on to content centers. Now keep in mind, these are all sticky things that your site needs to have. Or if you're not going to use them, at least having knowledge of them so you can implement them or time release them at certain aspects. So we've really talked about forums already. Now we're going to talk about content centers. And when I talk about content centers, this is more the default functionality of content management systems. You know, when I talk about content management systems as a way to manage, create, categorize, distribute, and promote content, that's exactly what it is. And our community is based on a content management system. But at the end of the day, we've hacked it, we've modified it, we've added so many things that you really can't call it a content management system anymore, because it does 1,000 more things than manage content. But in this content center, you'll find that this is more like the core functionality of a content management system. It allows you to post articles. It categorizes them in different, you know, topic areas. Things like adding their photos. See, we added that. We wanted that to be integrated. You know, when they add photos, we want those photos to be dispersed to every single area of the site, which you don't get that in most sites, you know, or most community solutions, you know, when you first get started without customizing. Now notice here, members can actually post content as well. It's not just me. It's a place for users to post articles, information for others to read, and not only for them to create user-generated content for me, but then they can go and comment on each other's comments. And whoever posted the comment can delete and manage their own comments and stuff, you know, or whoever posted the actual article can manage it. And so not only are members posting content, but they're getting feedback from other members. And, oh, man, if the feedback is great, that's going to push them to create more articles and submit more content to the site. And those are generally people I peep out to also be moderators of the site. So content centers are beautiful. And basically, if you're in the beginning, maybe you'll be in charge of content centers. So here's things that I did in the beginning. I just dumped my newsletters into them. I had an archive of newsletters I was keeping up with. Instead of having that archive on a static site, you know, like Hear and Play newsletters or something like that, why don't I take them down from there, or keep them up if you want, and house them inside of my community site? So then after they read it, they can comment on it. They can comment and rate it with other people. Keeps up with how many times it's been read. It, you know, it keeps up with most popular content devices inside of the content center. So I was placing newsletters in there. I was placing articles. When I wrote in my blog, I was posting, you know, certain excerpts out of that. Of course, user-submitted articles are going to be in there. Hot forum discussions. Sometimes, you know, forum discussions can get buried down depending on, you know, when they happen. I remember some really hot ones in 2006, but, you know, I wouldn't know where to find them unless a member dug them up and replied. One thing, when a member does reply to a forum post, it brings it back up to the top. So you will occasionally have some members in there looking at stuff, you know, from our first month live. And if they reply, you know, it might not have been replied to for 12 months, but they reply and makes it fresh again and brings it back to the top. But what I might do is go to some hot ones and I'll just copy and paste more like a transcript and turn it into a particular, you know, article in the content center and let people, you know, comment about it and things like that. Chat room transcripts. We have weekly events, of course, not hosted by me. I don't have enough time to do them. I used to do them. And I'll probably go back at some point, you know, when I get Tuesday evenings available. But I have one of my, you know, free moderators who's really dedicated. She's been dedicated since day one. She hosts a Tuesday night, take the transcripts from there, put them in the content center. E-courses, things that you already have going in your autoresponders, you know, take them, put them in the content centers. Autoresponder courses, audio lessons, video demonstrations, screen cam tutorials, all these, the code can be taken from whatever pages they're currently on, place them in the content management system, frequently asked questions from sales pages. Heck, put sales pages in there, break them up into different articles, especially if your sales pages are very, you know, educational. They give information before they sell, a wonderful things. And what it does is that it puts it out there in the community. Number one, it's that seeding that you need. When you have new members, because and you don't want too much content in the beginning. You want to make it so that users feel that they can add to it and that it's not intimidating, that they don't have anything to contribute to that particular area of the site. And you don't want too little, because then people see, well, this isn't an active site. There's nothing going on here. There's not enough to keep them occupied. And so they leave. So there is a balance there. And, you know, at least to encourage the user generated content, use this in conjunction with certain incentives, you know, like give them, you know, 1,000 points, you know, whereas all other, like maybe if they post in a forum, it's only 10 points, or if they post a comment on somebody's page, they only get 15 points. And of course, these points are redeemable, as I've been talking about. But maybe when they post an article, they get like 1,000 points. It's like obvious that we value your articles like 10 times more than everything else. And that's not to say don't do everything else, but they get the point. And many people that are into that whole points and ranking, they'll take you up on it. Notice we categorize. We have articles, newsletters, video lessons, audio lessons, online lessons. And then the submission process pretty much, and Eunice had to add this because it hadn't always been where users can submit content. It used to always be me. So we added it so their username appears here. They put their title here. You know, we got some instructions. We got some writing on the web, tutorials, guide to writing right here. They choose the topic. They choose, you know, the language, pretty much only English. I could take that off if I wanted to. And then they do their lead in. They can put HTML here. They can put links. And then here's the main body. The lead in is more like, you know, discover how to do this in this article, or, you know, article reveals 12 secrets. It's more like what appears in the listing, and then they put in their body right here. And here's how a content listing page would look. And these are just examples for you, so you know how things should be done, or, you know, who knows, you'll make them even better than I've done them. But a typical content page has a title, has the member who submits it, has the member photo. They love to see themselves up there. We've had this where, you know, photos didn't always appear here. When we added them, I mean, members just, they go crazy of seeing themselves up there. I mean, some people just post, you know, another article just to see their face up there, because as more people post, they get pushed down on, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth pages. So, you know, member, sense of ownership is right here. You know, their lead in is right here. Notice here, they can send the story to somebody. They can get a printer friendly version of the story, the category that it appears in. And then notice when you see words that are blue, this is a particular functionality of the community that we added that takes certain words that are predetermined by myself and links them to certain pages. Now that is cool, because if they say Jermaine, it can link to Jermaine's About Us page at hearandplay.com. If they say course, it can link to my 300-page course, you know, get them to buy. If they ever say 101, it can link to my Gospel Keys 101 course. If they ever say anything about scales, it's going to link to my Major Scales course. If they say anything about course, you see how this works? So the members are creating the content, and then certain keywords, we call them hot words or phrases, if you will, are automatically being hyperlinked to certain key areas on my sales page. So you definitely want to have this. As long as you're able to describe it to a programmer, they can do it. It's built into what Eunice already does. So, and all you have to do is take the time to identify certain words, type in, okay, if course is said anywhere on the website, I want a link to automatically be created that links to this particular page. If the word, you know, golf clubs are ever mentioned, I want it to link here. And really what you could do is you can go get accounts at, you know, or become affiliates of various ClickBank products. And anytime certain words that directly describe those products are mentioned, you can link to those particular ClickBank. So content listing pages are very important. The content pages themselves also have these same hyperlinks anywhere in the site. I don't care if somebody is submitting a comment on a member's page or in the forum, are going to have these hot links. And very powerful. If you want to know why I sell so many courses, this is one of the reasons. Not the be all, have all, or whatever, but it's one of the reasons. In this, they can send the story to a friend. This is if they click like this link right here, and there's other links that allow them to do this as well. But notice they just, their name is already filled in, and they put in their email address. I'll admit, I don't think this is the best way to do it. I have other ways when I'm really looking for them to grow the site. I have them import their address books, which we'll talk about. You know, it was a big reason why we grew 70,000 so fast. But here's just, you know, if they really find this article interesting and they know a particular person that would be helped by it, you know, at least we can offer them the ability to do is send it on. And then on the actual pages, you know, notice these are keywords and they go to sites of my choice. Here, most read story in this particular category. Here's links I can put here. These are links that I can put per category. So if a particular category is on videos or beginners, you know, I can put links to my courses here as well. And then here's the actual content that the member has written for me. And then at the end of the content, here's comments that other members are posting, you know. You're welcome. Great one. I wish I knew this earlier. Thanks a million times. See, there's that interaction. There's that collaboration. There's that two-way communication. Tammy's glad to help other people. She's glad to be one of the most popular members in the zone. The other members are helped by her. I'm helped because it's providing content for the site. And then that content is being linked to my sales pages to sell more of my products. So it's like everybody's working for everybody. And at the end of the day, we're all benefiting. It's not that I'm taking advantage of Tammy. She wants to contribute. And I want to sell more courses. I want to grow the community. Other members want to learn from other members. So it's all there. Moving on. The media and the download center. These are other areas. And you can find my 37-minute tour. I don't talk on that tour, but I do take you through everything. And as like, you know, a normal user or whatnot. But members can post code on other sites. And the links are automatically posted at the bottom of the file, you know, and they link to hearandplay.com. So, actually, let me show you how this one works. It'd be great to actually give you the nitty gritty on it. But so here's my homepage. You know, I have 21 buddy mail messages. I'm kind of bad. I haven't approved all these friends in the last week or so that want yours truly on their buddy list. But if I could just show you the audio and video section. Notice we have, you know, almost 1,200 video files that have been downloaded. Most of them, overwhelming majority, are audio files. We have software, we have video files, we have other files. We click here, and we have subcategories, you know, MP3s all the way up to WAV files or MIDI files. And here's the members. See how I said we always integrate their photo, their username, so they get the credit, they get that sense of ownership, they get that pride, they get that popularity, all the psychological things we look for when we engage in this kind of activity, right? They get that. Now, if I liked his particular file or I like listening to this song, I can click on use file. And I have to be logged in, I guess. I must have timed out. So let me go ahead and log in. I hadn't logged in a while. So as it's logging me in, you know, it takes me back to that same page, which is great. And I click on use file. And here it says simply press copy to clipboard. I can highlight this code because basically I want to use this file somewhere. I want to post it somewhere. This might be this particular guy wanting to use his own file. He wants to post it on MySpace, or maybe I just want to send it in a message to somebody on the community, or maybe I want to send it in an email or something. So I can go new post, and then I can just copy this code, and then I'll just call it, you know, here's a nice file, and then I'll send this one to myself. I can preview it. Notice it automatically loads the QuickTime player because it is an audio file, and I can listen to it. Let's see if he sounds good. He sounds good, doesn't he? Okay, so now people are interacting, they're listening to music, they're posting their music. Now, at the bottom, automatically, without them doing anything, that code includes this. So the member can right-click to download the file if they wanted to, not only listen to it, and then more files like this at hearandplayzone.com. So this gets embedded every time they pass it on. And I see this all over MySpace. I see this all over complimentary websites. That's one of those grade-A viral functions, okay? Because, you know, of course, I want to facilitate this interactivity, but I also want it to, you know, have some kind of built-in viral nature, which means the very nature of it causes people to pass it on. You upload music, you upload files, these 1,100 people that have uploaded things, of course they want to pass it on. So it wasn't I can't admit that in the beginning we didn't have that. That was one of those features I'm like, man, I'm leaving a lot on the table. I need to give them the opportunity to post this, automatically stream it, you know, wherever they post it, and then have a link at the bottom. It's the same thing that grew YouTube so fast. You go to YouTube, you upload a video. Even if you haven't uploaded, you watch videos. If you think it's hilarious, I've done this many times. I pass it on to my whole address book. If I find something that's just hilarious, I feel the need to pass it on, you know? So if something just hits home with me, I feel the need. How many times have you felt the need, the obligation to pass something on? Life wouldn't be the same if you didn't pass on, you know. There was one, I have to admit, where there was a pastor of a church who fired somebody off their trustee department, and this lady hauls off and slaps him. And this is on a YouTube video. And the pastor, a 70-year-old man, hauls off and slaps her back. And the police come, and I just thought this was just a big mess, but it was funny as heck to me. Pray for me. But I pass this on to my whole address book. Of course, my subject was pray for our church pastors who are doing things like this. But at the end of the day, it was hilarious. And probably because of my recommendation of 300 people on my address book, I'm sure 150, you know, read it because my headline was punchy. I didn't want to pass, you know, YouTube on. It wasn't like, oh, YouTube is so great that they had this thing that had me laughing out my seat or whatnot. It's just that the inherent nature of it made me, force me to pass it on. I wouldn't be the same if people couldn't share my laughter. I had my grandma watching it, and it's sad. It's not like it's a great story, but that's just how powerful it is. I can't make any excuses for wanting to pass it on. So that's an idea. And the way this works is they pretty much upload to various places on the site, and pretty much content grows, and it benefits both people because the files they upload, they go on their profile. So it's kind of like a way to house their own media area for people and public you know, friends and family to see. It's the way to host it in a site that supports what they're doing, that is. And then members can also benefit from the content, and then Hear and Play benefits from it being passed on. And here's how the categories are created. The submission process. Notice there's a little checkbox here so the member can add it to their personal profile. Sometimes they don't want to. Members can search here. You got new, most popular, you got top rated. Those are classic features. Notice username and photo. We've talked about all this. Here's something. Members can actually rate and comment on the files. So that adds that Web 2.0 collaboration and interactivity. And then you also know how the viral functionality of it works. And then once it's posted, if it's a video, it looks like this. You saw how I posted an audio. I even played it. It sounded good. And then here's how the comments look. So these are various things. And, you know, you'll have the handouts to this if you need to show to somebody or do a screen cap. You know, you just can rate. And so this is basic functionality. And it not only provides that interactivity, but that viral effect, as I've said. Profile management. Now, basically, this was something that it was launched with our initial site, I guess the version of our site that we started with, but not the way it is now. We've totally changed it. See this background? See her background? I mean, this came much later, the ability for them to bring in CSS code and profile layout code. They just copy and paste a bunch of code and it changes the total look. I mean, that was a milestone to me because that took user ownership, like it took it up exponentially. But it basically gives users the ability to manage their own profile, their own content, information about themselves, their background, their photos, their likes, their dislikes. They can introduce themselves. This is their hub. This is their place. This is their home on your website. And as you know, users are more apt to share their personal page with family and friends because it's their page. And of course, when their family and friends come, they can't help but to see, hear and play and other options for them to engage in. Here's an example of my particular profile. Here's one of Eunice. That's his son. See, it makes Eunice more personal. He's known as the programmer guy who created this zone. Ask him. He knows a lot of people. There he is. You know, it's personal. There's Lady D, one of our top members. She has about 14,000 profile views. There's one of our moderators, another member. You know, just look at the creativity of these different members here. These are different things I picked up from different people's pages. They'll post YouTube videos on their page, just things that describe them. They'll post little gadgets and world maps, puts a dot, you know, where you're coming from. They'll do voice comments. I mean, all kinds of stuff because they have the control, their creative expression here. And that's key in getting them to pass on your site and feel like they're a part of it. Basically, a profile consists of an entire user's record, info about them, their latest forum posts, their latest comments, ways to contact the user. Allows users to stay connected by adding other people to their buddy list. This particular user has 38 buddies. Allows users to message each other privately or post comments publicly. Users can be as creative as they want, altering backgrounds and adding various CSS code to enhance their profiles, which is a sense of ownership, and then they get their own URL. So you come to our site, you get your own page, your own place, and I've seen a lot of members add this to their signatures, and actually some of them, we actually got a business card in the mail. Somebody had added their URL to their business card. Now, obviously, somebody who probably doesn't have their own website, but they consider this their website. Photos, info section. The more info section is where it'll show my last forum post that I've made, my last 10 comments that I made, my last 10 news submissions or articles. And then members can come and they can actually comment. To date, I think I have about 1,600 comments from various members. And I can click, and then obviously I make it easy. See, I want to facilitate collaboration. So if the owner is looking at this, it'll say, you know, whoever that person is, post a reply. you know, but that's how it works. And then I can manage my comments here. I can delete them all. I can click on certain ones if I don't like them. Every member can do this. And then other viral examples. When they first log in, they see their website. I use the word my, as in them. Here's their link. Their best friends are here. Accessible, because those are people they probably talk and communicate with most. They can promote their profile. Here's the link, the code. I mean, they just copy and paste this code and it automatically puts this banner here and already linked to their profile page. So that's powerful. And I find these all over MySpace. They can search profiles, give them easy ways to search here. They can browse various members. They can, you know, if they click a certain browse category, and we had to add this as well, photo, you know, gender, age, what the other person's looking for, primary instrument. They can add buddies, of course. Here's an example of my buddy list. At the time of this screencast, I had about, well, not when I did this screenshot some months ago, I actually had 4,197. Now I have about 15,000 friends. And, you know, these are just different people. Look how many pages. Best friends is something we added. This is one of those C-grade features for units, just to give you an idea. But I can take people from my 4,197, you know, amount of members, and I can make them my best friends. I can have up to 10 best friends. And out of the 10, top 4 show up on my profile. So if they want to control, if they don't choose best friends, just the last 4 people that have added them will show up on their buddy list. This is their way to control it. And we just call it best friends, something we had created. And here's just an example how easy it is to change best friends. They click and they can just make this person number 1 or 3 or 4 and whatnot. Notice I skipped 2 just to leave an opening. Here's my profile. Notice at the time of this, I had 56,000 members. Now we have about 72,000. I had 24,000 profile views. Now I have about 35,000. And then, you know, it pretty much gives them information about themselves. Everybody sees this when they're logged in.